The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, and usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, have we considered how difficult it is to believe in a resurrection? If we have ever wondered, we are in very good company. While every person wants to live forever, they would like to skip the death part. Well, better prepare for a resurrection. Next, how can we not see, and I mean this as in not, as in I wrote not with red ink. Not. How can we not see that demons, agents of Satan, are teaching the world to follow fake and evil ethics? The principles, morals, and righteousness of this world is a lie, and the Bible even says our righteousness is as filthy rags. And finally, there's a unique way that Jesus reveals himself, and if we miss this gift, we miss a significant opportunity of being with Jesus. It is simple math. Jesus plus Jesus, and then add some more Jesus equals even more of Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us 972-445-0770. If you call 972-445-0770, you'll talk to Terrific T, and that's just like getting an unexpected refund check in the mail. Can't do better than that. That's the best. What's this from? Oh, I got $100 for what? Yes, that's right. I love it. All right, so here's the bottom line. If you have something you want to share, something the Lord's working on, if you have a prayer request or a praise report, an answer to Bible trivia, which I'm going to give you in just a sec, just something you got a question on that's kind of simplified, if we can answer it. If it's more complex, I'll just ask you to give me time to research it. That's all. The bottom line is that we're here to encourage and lift up one another and strengthen one another and pray for one another and bless one another. One of the great prayers that I think my brother taught me way, way back is that he just wants to be a blessing to people. It's like, that's perfect. I mean, who doesn't agree with that? So let's start off with real quickly with a trivia question and see how we can go from there. These are all about lions to some degree, okay? What devout young man was placed in a lion's den? What devout young man was placed in a lion's den? If you think you know the answer, then you are welcome to call us at 972-445-0770. Or you can text 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, we want to encourage you to check out the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation, and it's a very simple reason why. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, I think we have somebody who wants to answer the trivia. Am I right? Okay, leaning over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, good afternoon, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Good to hear your voice. I love hearing your voice. I love it when you call in.
Thank you. I try to listen to the show every day. I love it, and I think everybody else should, too.
Wow, that's nice of you to say. What a nice thing for you to say. And I'll send you the $20 later. Okay. All right. So here we've got a classic. These are all kind of lion trivia questions. What devout young man was placed in a lion's den?
Was it Joseph?
No, but I want you to think about there was a classic. You know, the major prophets, you got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and who's that other one? Starts with a D.
Ryan? Daniel?
Yes, that's it! Daniel in the lion's den. That's what we were looking for. So he was placed in the lion's den in Daniel, I think it's chapter 6, where he was stuck in the lion's den because he refused not to pray. That's a dead.
Oh, yeah.
That's
I remember
the,
now.
Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do. That's one of those things where you think, I know that answer. And then you, the other part of your mind goes, well, I'm going to give you another answer real fast.
All right. Well, you and T have a good day.
All right. God bless. Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. See, she knew it, but sometimes you got to pull it out. That's why that's so funny. And but don't get the wrong idea. I go through this a lot. So somebody will ask me a question, and then I'll fire off a scripture. And then I'll go, well, after I say it, I'll go, wait, that's the wrong scripture. I do it all the time. It's hilarious. It's one of those funny things. Okay, here we go. Ready? Does biblical prophecy prove Jesus Christ is Messiah? So I want to share something with you that I think you'll find amazing. We're just going to talk about this from a practical point of view, ironically. So there are prophecies in the Bible. There are thousands of prophecies in the Bible, technically, and there were a multitude of prophecies fulfilled during the life of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 23, verse 44 says this, "It was now about the sixth hour." For those that are trying to figure out when the sixth hour is, that'd be about 12 p.m. "And darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour." So if 12 p.m. is the sixth hour, then 3 p.m. is going to be about the ninth hour, okay? Not no rocket science yet, right? This, by the way, is in fulfillment to the prophecy of Amos chapter 8, verse 9. And I remember many, many years ago, how many years ago? Over 40 years ago, and I still remember being in my dad's house in the room, that the little walkway that went just before the kitchen, and him and I were talking. And so we were sharing, and we were lovingly arguing. See, when Jewish people talk, and I've said this before, it's more like everybody's Thanksgiving. That's like every day, okay? That's kind of how we grow up, okay? So what we talked about was, I said, you know, look, this prophecy shows that Jesus fulfilled. He was the sixth hour of the day, and then darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. And I said, so it's fulfilling Amos 8:9. So my dad replied, Jesus knew when a solar eclipse was going to happen. I'm not kidding you. This is exactly what he said. Okay. So there's a couple of interesting things that took place right after my dad said that. Okay. And this was one of those arguments that I said to my dad that I won. And he, being a lawyer, knew that I won it. I said, well, I said, no solar eclipse has ever lasted 3 hours. And he goes, well, that's true. That's when you know you kind of won the argument, right? Because solar eclipses don't last 3 hours. Sorry. He said, well, maybe back a zillion years ago. Nope, never happened. That's number one. Number two, how did Jesus, being on the cross, have all these other prophecies fulfilled when he's on the cross by the Sanhedrin, the crowds, the Roman courts, and hundreds of other timing elements that are completely out of human control. If he wasn't God, how did all that get fulfilled all at the time when he was going through, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, going through the crucifixion and the death, burial, and resurrection? How did 113 prophecies get fulfilled when they were out of his control and even when he was dead? So that was argument number two. And the response was, well, they stole his body. I said, so he didn't die? So it's like, what happens is when you get into discussions and into reasonings and things of this nature, you have to understand what's taking place. Unless, and I'm going to say it in the nicest possible way, unless the Lord kind of pulls back the veil, they're not even going to get it, even if it's just absolutely laid out. So when you have somebody like Lee Strobel on, or somebody that talks about that, who's gone through that process, examined it, that was the Lord that enabled him to see the truth. It's not just this, well, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. It should be that way for Christianity. It should be that way for this. It should be that way for that. It doesn't work that way in all of life, since God is an interlinear being and has no beginning and no end. That already destroys everything a finite mind can grasp. There is no argument to even be had. So my point in telling you that is, when you share with someone, you give them logical processes and they listen to it and follow it through, and then they just come up with other conclusions. It's just that the Lord hasn't opened their eyes and their heart yet. And that's what you need to be praying for. You know, that's a logical argument. You win that argument. You know you've got it. You know you've nailed it down. But unless God goes bing, they're still not going to see it. That's what you got to catch. It's not the way you say it. It's not how you discuss it. It's not this, not sometimes it's not even the spirit, even if it's heated or not heated. It's whether or not the Lord opens their eyes to see it. That's what we need to be praying for. And wait till you see how specific that is into the next section that we're going to talk. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
You don't know what's going to happen in 1 minute, let alone 1 hour from now. And God, who it's impossible for God to lie, has made this commitment, made this offer, made this opportunity to both you and me and all of us around. The simplicity is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that the wages of that sin, the wages falling short, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God, demonstrating his love for us, sent Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There is nothing more important than that principle right there. The hope that is offered to believers who acknowledge and surrender to the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what's being offered. That's what gives you encouragement. That's what enables you to go on. You're going to have a lot of sorrow in this life. Job said it best, a man's days are few and full of trouble. But in the next, there is something so wonderful that even in man's mind, we cannot retain it. For eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither can the heart comprehend, can't even receive the great things which God has prepared for them that love him. There's such a great thing that's coming for us, such a great place, such a wondrous place. But you got to acknowledge the invitation. You got to say yes. Because if you don't say yes, you're not going to that wedding. The wedding of the Lamb. Don't be that person. Don't be that person that rejects it. Don't be that person that lives in sorrow, in grief, and in sadness. Don't be that person.
be the one that says yes so that you can be a part of the great wedding feast, that you can be a part of the great celebration. No, life is much more than this 60, 70, 80, 90 years. It's eternity on the line. And if you've already said yes, rest in the comfort. Rest in that place. Rest in that goodness. That all is well. And even on this side, if it's hard, on the other side, it's glorious.
Amazing grace, how sweet. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, I got a classic trivia question. Classic. What? So remember, it's all about lions. Okay. What future king claimed he grabbed a lion by the beard and killed him? What future king claimed he grabbed a lion by the beard and killed him? Which one? And that was, of course, in the action of saving life. Let's just say that. But what future king made that claim that he grabbed a lion by the beard and killed him? If you know that answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. If you're close, we'll get you there. If you're there, you're there. If you're far away, we'll get you there. You can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. What future king, and I should say what future king of Israel, claimed to grab... Didn't claim, he grabbed a lion by the beard and took him down. All right, if you think you know the answer, you can go that direction, 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Somebody's calling in, so I'm not going to get the joke yet to do the joke yet. I didn't say you'd like the joke. I just said I have one, you know. I have one, okay? It's a pretty funny one. Are we got somebody ready to answer the question? All right, here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ryan Roberts.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. I appreciate you asking me. All right.
This
is a classic now. What future king claimed that he grabbed a lion by the beard and took him down? Who did that?
It was King David, who also claimed to kill a bear as well.
That is correct! You are all correct, right, sir! That is right! He was telling this when he was demonstrating or kind of winning his case with Saul, saying, look, I've taken down a lion, I've taken down a bear, I can take this guy down,
Before he killed Goliath, right?
That's exactly right, right in there. Part of his lead-up, so... Excellent job. A lot of people were guessing on that one, not getting it right. You got it right out the bat. So that's a good job. I really appreciate that.
All right. I appreciate you too. Thank you for the program. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. See, David grabbed it. So, and then there's a whole teaching. Now, I'm not going to go down this road because I got my joke I got to tell. But there's a whole teaching about David killed the bear and he killed the lion. And it's not a deep, serious teaching, so don't freak out or anything. But the bear is like your first level of sin. The lion's like your second level of sin. And then Goliath's like the big sin. I just think that's fascinating. It's like, that's cool. I mean, nothing to, you know, freak out about. But yeah, David did that. That was 1 Samuel 17:35. Okay, here we go. Here's our joke. Got the buzzer ready? Make sure that buzzer is working. Yeah. Yesterday's wasn't very good.
Let's see if we can make up for it.
Yeah, I think we can. I kind of think we can. A new minister stood at the church door greeting the members as they left the Sunday morning service. Most of the people were very generous, telling the new minister how much they liked his message. Except for one man who said, this was a very dull and boring sermon, Pastor. A few minutes later, the same man again appeared in the line and said, I don't think you did much preparation for your message. And once again, the man appeared, this time muttering, "You really blew it. You didn't have a thing to say, Pastor." Finally, the minister could stand it no longer, and he went to one of the deacons and inquired about the man. And the deacon said, "Oh, don't let that guy bother you. He's got a little bit of a twitch. All he does is go around repeating whatever he hears other people saying." See, other people saying, you know, don't. Okay. Come on! Okay. I have to fight for everything here, folks. That's the bottom line. See, he's just repeating whatever. All right, never mind. All right, let's get into the next portion. It was kind of funny. Okay, so I want to talk to you about this this reality check about when you're sharing with people and talking about Jesus and talking about the resurrection. I want you to understand something. Just so you can know, and just so you can be maybe comforted even to some degree, that when we were talking about the gospel, it's not that it's not the greatest truth ever told. It's just that sometimes you hear it and you go, huh? So I want to give you some examples because you and I love the idea of living forever, but a lot of us don't like the idea of dying and then resurrecting, right? So it gets to be hard to kind of walk through that process. Listen to Luke 24, 4 through 5. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Now, here's where I want you to stop and think, okay? So this is the resurrection story, right? And now you got these the women that are, like, encountering, right? And now you have them telling the apostles, the guys that spent 3 years with Jesus watching miracles, watching people who were dead raised, watching the blind see, the lame walk, watching all these things. This is verse 9 in Luke 24. "And they came back from the tomb, and they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense." Now, I want you to catch this. Super important. You're sharing the gospel. You're witnessing with somebody. You're telling somebody, even in the slightest format. You're telling your kids. You're telling your parents. I've done both, so I know, right? You're telling your siblings, right? And they think you're a nut because you're like, "And then Jesus resurrected." And they're like, "What?" But you have to understand, and I have to understand, that even the apostles at first thought it was nonsense. Even the guys that hung out with Jesus and saw him do miracle after miracle. They were there when he fed the people with the two fish and the five loaves of bread. And he fed 5,000 men besides women and children. The phrase besides women and children is in the Greek. Okay, it's not added on. That means that there's got to be at least 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people fed. He's doing all these great and powerful things. What happens? They say he's raised from the dead. He's not there. And they're like, "This is like nonsense." So it's not abnormal for family members or other people to think that. What it really should show you and I, I don't think we appreciate very much, is just how miraculous your faith in Jesus Christ really is. Because if the apostles who spent 3 years with Jesus, seeing miracle after miracle, if they were like, "This is nonsense," and you and I hear the gospel and we say, "Yes, Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, he appeared to many, then he ascended, and he's coming back soon, and he did that for my sins, and I receive that, I acknowledge that, I surrender my life, I ask for forgiveness, I seek the lordship of Christ, as well as him being my Savior," that is a miracle
You're 2,000 years removed. You get that? And so when you're sharing or when people hear about it, it shouldn't be surprising for Christians to think, you know, oh, I can't believe that they didn't just say yes when I said all this. Really? The apostles didn't do that either. It's not that they didn't want to do that. They were just thinking, this is nutsy cuckoo. Remember, at the end of Matthew, it said some, when Jesus revealed himself, some believed. It even says there, but some doubted. That's a normal process. And so this is where we pray, and this is where we believe that the Lord does the surging and the connecting, that he can open up the eyes of the blind spiritually that they might see. Now, you might have a loved one, somebody that you're passionate about, somebody that's close to you, and they might not be a believer. I have that in my life. And so what do I pray? I pray that God will reveal himself to them. They will open their eyes, open their heart, so that they can see what really is truth. And you know when I'm going to stop praying for them? Never. Because that, as long as I have breath, I'll be praying for those family members. Why? Because I don't want them to miss. I don't want them to go to hell. I mean, I have a lot of distaste for some of their behaviors, but I don't want something like that to happen to them. I want them to spend eternity where I'm going to be. I'm going to be hanging out with God. I just want them to come with. Christianity should not just be about you making a beeline for the Lord's throne. It should be you making a beeline for the Lord's throne with your arms open wide so that you can bring as many people towards that throne as you can while you're heading towards it. That's what it should be about. And that's an important element to understand. So if there's a resistance, don't be surprised. It's a miracle that brings a person into Christianity, just like you and your faith is a miracle from God. And it should be appreciated and recognized as such. Okay? All right. Wow. What a rant. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind,
destroying everyone and everything. The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Okay, let's do a little bit of history, and then we've got our last teaching. Let's set up history. Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right. Unlike most of the times, I'm going to do an honorable mention because there are a couple of days that are worthy of honorable mention. First and foremost, it is Trivia Day. I mean, come on. Trivia Day. That's what we do. Hey, Bible trivia. Hey, it is also National Spaghetti Day. So I don't know
yummy.
How I feel about it. Yummy. You like spaghetti big time? Huge?
Wait, were you about to say you don't know how you feel about
well,
spaghetti?
Well, I don't know if it has its own day, but let me ask you, do you like spaghetti like with stuff in it or just spaghetti by itself?
Anything. Like it can have stuff in it, stuff out.
Wow.
I will eat spaghetti with the sauce as long as there's sauce and no just.
So meat. You're a big spaghetti fan, like I'm a pizza fan.
Yes. Love carbs.
We're just going to go out one day and just do pizza and spaghetti. We got to go to an all-you-can-eat pizza and spaghetti thing.
Can it be a National Carbs Day?
Yes.
Yes.
We have to find one of those.
A woman.
All right. Here is a woman. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Everybody thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I hope you guys are having a good day, a good Friday. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. These are kind of fun, the lion ones. I think they're kind of cool. Okay, now you got to remember where I'm giving this information from, according to 1 Peter. Okay, so that should tell you everything you got to know. According to 1 Peter, okay, according to 1 Peter, what entity is like a ravenous lion or a prowling lion? According to 1 Peter, what entity is like a prowling lion? I can say prowling. I can do it. I'm able to. If you think you know, you can call us at 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. The teaching I got that's coming up is going to be a little tougher. It's not meant to hurt anybody. It's not meant to offend anybody. But if you're offended, then you should check out 1 Corinthians 13, where it says love is not easily offended. So I just want to make sure you understand that. So 1 Peter, what entity is like a prowling lion, okay? A roaring lion. Roar! Why does a lion roar? What does the roar do? So you got to make sure you get that part of it. First, the 1 Peter text is the big part. And if you're not sure and you're scratching your head just a little bit, which some people I think are, it's 1 Peter 5. Okay, that's my one way to help you. All right, anything we need? Are we all right? No, yes, maybe, I don't know. I can't. Okay, she got a call back. All right, let's do a little bit of history. Did you get that file I sent you, the email file? Yeah, of the little sound? Okay, get ready because we're going to play that in a second. All right, so let's play the history sound first.
Let's go live.
All right, so what we're going to do is get that sound ready. You're the 20 seconds, right? The 20-second kind of thing that I sent you in the email yesterday, right? It's like, okay, right? Because it's, what is it? It's Dance Like a Chicken Day. Do we have that file? Yes, we're going to play it. Dance Like a Chicken now. Yeah, we spare no expense here at this show. We take every single penny and let me say that differently. We take every single quarter and we use it for gumballs. Because that was not a very expensive play, was it? But that was funny, right? We got somebody who's going to answer the trivia question. Do you want to hold on history or do they want them to hold? What would you prefer to do? Because I'm still doing history. All right, let's finish history. Okay, let's finish history real quickly. A couple things to tell you. Today is National Buttermilk Biscuit Day. You gotta like that. I mean, buttermilk biscuits. Come on, folks.
Yummy.
There you go. It's Fintastic Friday, giving sharks a voice. I think if anybody saw the movie Jaws, they have plenty that they've already spoken. I'll just leave that there. And then let's see. Israel Independent State, 1948. And then I thought this was kind of a classic, 1973, Skylab, the United States' first space station, is launched. And when they launched it, they had a few problems right off the bat, but that was the first space station. That was back in 73. It just seems like it was like not that long ago. All right. Somebody's ready to answer the question, so let's lean over. Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you doing?
Pretty good. And I just, I was telling T, on Fridays I don't always get to listen to you, or maybe I get to listen to just a portion of the program because I have somebody that comes around 1 o'clock.
Gotcha.
On Fridays, yeah.
That makes sense. Well, all right. Now, according to 1 Peter, and that's the big key, 1 Peter chapter 8, mm-hmm. What entity is like a roaring lion?
Satan.
That is correct, ma'am. You are 100% correct. And a lot of people don't realize this, but the roar, so I'm not an animal expert, and so somebody who's an animal expert can correct me in general, but typically the roar from a lion paralyzes the prey with fear, and that enables the lion to take advantage, a tactical advantage. And that's one of the things that the enemy does, is he roars loud and tries to paralyze us with fear, doesn't he?
That's right.
That's good. Good job.
I've heard a lion roar, I think, at the zoo.
Yeah. It's loud, isn't it? It's not quiet. It's like, yeah. Louder than me. That's pretty good. Good job, Mary.
Okay. Well, anyway, you have a good weekend. I hope you're doing well in school, are you?
Doing well. Just got an A. So, yep, I'm doing good.
Good.
All right.
That's great.
Just keep praying for
Alrighty.
Me.
Alrighty.
Okay. God bless you.
Thank you. Uh-huh. God bless you, too. Uh-huh. Alrighty.
Bye-bye. There's our sweetheart, Mary. Okay, so the address for that was 1 Peter 5:8. And that's where 1 Peter says that the enemy walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Roar! Okay. All right, I only have so many minutes. I want to get this teaching in. I don't want you to get offended, but if you do get offended, I don't want you to complain about it, okay? That's the best way to say it. I don't want you to be offended. Man, I don't want to hear about it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Okay? By means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience. What does that all mean? It means that they're so deceived and twisted that in their own minds, their consciousness has been seared. It can no longer be responsive to a regular conscience. You know, that's the best preacher in the world, by the way, your conscience. They can no longer respond to that because they've burned it out. They've had so much connection to demonic teaching and to lies and to hypocrisy that it no longer matters. And just so you can understand this in its fullness and in its glory, you might ask, well, you're telling me that Dave, that are people influenced by teachings from demons? The answer is yes. They are influenced by teachings from demons. Let me explain a couple of things to you real quickly, and then we'll break it down. A doctrine is a teaching, okay? And that just sounds really fancy, but a doctrine is simply a body or a system of teaching that's on a particular subject. And so the Holy Spirit is specifically saying, very few times that the Greek ever uses specifically saying, that in the latter times, which for you and I is like right now, okay? People who at one time seemed to be connected have left, or they were connected and they left. That's a whole separate theological argument. But why? They're following deceiving spirits. How do they follow them? By listening and supporting and promoting the evil spirit's message. Did you hear what I just said? By listening, supporting, and promoting the evil spirit's message. And you say, well, what kind of doctrines or demons? What kind of teachings are that? Political correctness has a large slant in that unbelievableness. Some of the different communities, the cancel culture has a lot of that excessive, demonic, support all the things except for Christian teaching thinking. That's demonic. You know, it's not rocket science. They're anti-God. The whole idea that God didn't make Adam and Eve, but now there's, listen to this, in the UK, up to 36 different genders. I'm sorry. I saw the movie The Kindergarten Cop. There's not that many genders. I know that God made Adam and Eve. Jesus affirmed that God made Adam and Eve. There's no question that it was Adam and Eve. Sorry, that's the way it goes. And so that all this political correctness or this cancel culture or this whole process, those are demonic teachings. They're teachings that are filled with lies and hypocrisies. And unfortunately for us, there's false prophets, and that would be a lot of people that make a lot of proclamations. There's governments. There's the media, and I happen to know this all too well, and the educational system that promotes this. And in their own consciousness, they're missing God. And they're only using their own consciousness, which has been defiled. And it's sad. So what does that say for the Christian? How does the Christian respond to that? That gives us that much more of a requirement and of an urgency to know what the Bible says, to know 1 Peter 5:8, that's the enemy that's seeking to devour people, and he's going to devour people that he can. And so the whole idea behind this is to be aware and to be in touch and to be connected to the truth. You know, we always talk about it. We talk about it from a relationship point of view, but it's also from a safety point of view. Knowing what God has to say about something will save your soul. Not knowing what God has to say will put you in danger, period. Let's get away from and stay distant from accepting, supporting, and promoting demons and in their teachings in the world, okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Before we pray and before we get going, it's important for you to understand kind of where I'm coming from. A lot of you those of you that were in the first service are going, oh no, here comes that joke again. Wrong, it's a different joke, so we'll go with that. Let's understand that being born and raised Jewish and becoming a Christian is very simply understood for all of you. That means two Jews, three opinions. If you can't figure that out, you're going to have a tough time the rest of this time. So let's talk about what that perspective is and what I learned growing up. There was a lady, and she was on a bus, and she was sitting next to a guy. And she turns over to the guy, and she taps him, and she goes, excuse me, mister, are you Jewish? And he goes, no, I'm not. She goes, okay, thanks. Going further down, she taps him again, she goes, excuse me, mister, she goes, are you Jewish? He goes, no, I'm not Jewish, but thank you for asking. I appreciate that.
They go a little further down, and she taps him again. She goes, excuse me one more time, mister. Are you sure you're not Jewish? He goes, no, I am not Jewish. I am not. She goes, okay. A little further down, she taps him again. She goes, are you really sure you're not Jewish? He goes, fine, fine, I'm Jewish. She goes, funny, you don't look Jewish.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video. But you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Couple things to send your direction. If you were offended by that last teaching, I cannot help you. You just read the Bible. That's all I would say. You know, we have a plumb line. It's called the Word of God. That's number one. Number two, here's our next trivia question, and I am forewarning you, it is tougher than the previous questions about lions. Ready? What book, and I will tell you this, New Testament, what book speaks of the lion of the tribe of Judah? What book speaks of the lion of the tribe of Judah? If you think you know, give us a call, 972-445-0770. You know that 445, I'm supposed to be, you know, really slow in my pronunciations. Is a, you know, 972-445. And then when I get to 445, I go, 445. It's like, hype, hype, hike. You know, I don't know what it is. Anyway, 972-445-0770. Or you can text 214-210-8483. Straightforward, New Testament. What book speaks of the lion of the tribe of Judah? Da-da-da! Those are the other expensive sound effects we have. Da-da-da! Okay. All right, somebody think they have the answer? Yes? Ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. God bless you, bro. Good to hear you.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Got it. All right. Here, kind of a classic right now. What book in the New Testament makes the mention that it speaks of the lion of the tribe of Judah?
Well, this is definitely a guess, but I want to say Acts. I don't know.
Okay, now here's what I want you to do. So, because that's not a bad guess, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of books with a lot of symbols and pictures in the New Testament. A lot of pictures in it.
Sorry.
That's all right.
You know what? You got me on this one.
Okay.
I'm not sure where you're at on that. Yeah,
go all the way, go in the Bible and take the farthest right-hand turn you can take. And what's the last book you arrive at?
Oh, Revelation.
That is correct, sir! So what's amazing, it talks about the lion of the tribe of Judah, but then it shows you the lamb. It's kind of a fascinating element. Amen. There you go.
Amen. Thanks for the correction. I appreciate that.
You'll never, ever, there'll never be a day in your life you'll forget that. Lion of the tribe of Judah, that's Revelation. That's how fast you'll do it.
That's right. Amen. That's right. That's how we learn. Yeah, we learn from our mistakes, don't we?
Yep, that's a big part of the process. If we get it right, most of the time we're lucky.
Yeah, well.
All right, my brother.
That's it. Yeah, thanks. I dropped my phone. Sorry about that.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you, guys. Appreciate you and T.
All right, God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you, too.
Bye-bye. All right, Book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. So just think about that. So that's at some point as we keep going through this, if the Lord grants us time for the show to keep going and so on and so forth, we'll go through the Book of Revelation. And what I'll do is I'll do a two interpretation through each portion. It'll blow your mind. I've taught it once before. It's very in depth. It takes a long time, and people on each side get mad at the other. You gotta be like, don't get mad at one another. You're just seeing it differently. It's okay. Anyway, let's do a Hebrew word. I've got a Hebrew word, so let's play the Hebrew music for our Hebrew word. All right, here it is. This comes out of 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 21. Then the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man of valor, leader, and captain of the camps of the kings of Assyria. The word angel in the Hebrew is malach. Malach.
Malach.
Yeah, you got the pretty good. That's pretty good for you. I mean, somebody's not gone to Hebrew school. Malach, a messenger, ambassador, someone dispatched to do a task, to relay a message. More specifically, in the Old Testament, used more than 200 times. A heavenly messenger from the Lord. Malach. Malach. That's angel in Hebrew. Okay? Okay. For those that are like going, what is it? Malach. Okay. All right, let's do the last teaching. Is that everything? Well, let's do the website real fast. Don't forget, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncrease Ministry. YouTube, HeMustIncrease Ministry. Okie dokie, artichoke. Don't forget, artichoke is a theological term. This is out of Luke chapter 24, something I want to share with you that I think is really important. It's a really cool catch if you follow this. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they were talking to each other about all these things which had taken place, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. Now, these are the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus is hanging out with them, right? And they didn't know right off the bat, right? Until they broke bread. Now, listen to what it says in verse 28. And they approached the village where they were going, and Jesus acted as though he was going further. So for those people that don't think Jesus can act, there it is. He acted as though he was going further. Yeah, I'm going to keep going. He was just kidding. But they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So we went in to stay with them. When he had reclined, referring to Jesus, when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Verse 31. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is one of the most important things, and I don't know why we just, I think this should be like, you know, boo, 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 siren, 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 spotlight, spotlight, look it. These two guys are going down the road. They're going to the village named Emmaus. They're on their way. Jesus joins them. They're all hanging out. Jesus is like, yeah, I'm going to keep going. They're like, no, hang out with us. Hang out with us. Stay with us. We love your company. It's really great. They reclined at the table. Jesus takes the bread. He breaks it. He gives it to them. As soon as they're eating bread broken in fellowship, they see Jesus. You think that's an accident? You think that story is in there just because it's nice, a nice fill? Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. When? After Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. After they were eating the bread of life, which of course is Jesus Christ, but while they were in fellowship with one another, Jesus reveals himself to us in fellowship with others. Remember that saying, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? And as they were sharing this story back with the other disciples and all the other people, in verse 35 from Luke 24 says, they began to relate their experience on the road, how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Ding, ding, ding. We get to see different parts of Jesus in fellowship. And you keep thinking, no, no, everything I need to know is, you know, right here. Everything you need to know is Jesus Christ, who said, love one another, who said, fellowship with one another, who said, by this shall all know you're my disciples, by your love one for another. And when we get together, what happens? We always talk about this, but I'm just using Jesus as kind of a substitute right here as the Holy Spirit. But inside of you is Jesus. And what and then inside of the person next to you is Jesus. And inside of the person next to them is Jesus. And if the three of you get together, then there's three people with Jesus. So what is there? More Jesus. I mean, it's not even that complex. It's not even math. What is math? But now my whole point is you come in and what's amazing is in fellowship you find out there's different ways the Lord communicates or teaches or reveals or shows or instructs, and you go, instead of you getting upset, you go, wow, that's fascinating. You see it that way. Wow, that's cool. Because that's how God is. He's the revealer. Steve wants to know, yes, what happened if they didn't invite him? That's so funny. He's such a great guy. What happened if they didn't invite him? I think Jesus would have nudged his way in. that's my theological answer. He didn't nudge his way in, you know. Hey, can I hang out with you guys? You know, kind of thing. Here's the bottom line. Jesus reveals himself in that fellowship process. This is why you hear me petition you. It's not just, this shows a form of fellowship, and I love that you guys participate in it. But you have to be connected to a group. You have to be able to talk to somebody one-on-one, have them pray over you, bless you, love on you. You love on them, pray on them, bless them. That's what we're doing. Until he comes, until he arrives, until you hear the trumpet blows, until the eschatology manifests itself completely, we're supporting one another. Let's just keep doing that. And the more that we break bread with one another, and the more that we take care of one another, the more that we love one another, the more revelation and insight we get to who Jesus is. It's just the way it is. It's how he set it up. That's why when you pray for somebody, you have that moment in you that you have more faith because you believe God will do it for them. I think it's fascinating. All right, we're done. I hope it was a blessing for you. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 72.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More spoonanity, more insanity.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running, running and running.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.